Cicico Blanques.
Good News World with Hubert Angel, provoking a reaction and always worth hearing.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Something good is about to take place. And remember, this is 7 years in heaven.
Right.
It's so important that you understand we are dealing with 7 years in heaven, not eternity in heaven. So tell somebody I'm live right this minute. Tell somebody right now.
Amen.
Tell somebody right now. Share this broadcast with somebody and tell them we are live. Because a lot, trust me, a lot is going to be revealed today. We're going to demystify a lot of what people thought were revelations. I remember watching just a few days ago, and I realized most pastors and bishops and apostles are telling the church we're going to be in heaven for eternity, which is a lie. A lie. I wish I could say from the pits of hell. It's just that the hell doesn't even have demons. So just understand, we're going to really reveal some few things that you yourself will be like, what do you mean there is no eternity in heaven? You will see it. You will see it. A lot is going to take place. A lot is going to take place. All right. So eternity is not in heaven for now. Just know that way before you get to write notes. Now, it's important that you understand we are on Miracle TV. You tell somebody we're on Miracle TV. We're on Miracle TV Africa, Miracle TV Asia, Arab world. We're on Miracle TV India. We are also on Sky TV, which is the largest in Europe, the largest platform in Europe, 596. It's really, really amazing. And I like the fact that when our people watch, when people watch this, our broadcast, they always have this understanding that it's not the prophecy. You actually hear people saying, what I like the most about Spirit Embassy is the word.
Yes.
You know, when people come to a prophet and say, it's the word that pushes it.
Yes.
It's just amazing to understand that we are a word conscious church and a word centered church. Yes, we are prophetic, but it's mainly the word. All right. So very, very important that you tell somebody that the word machine is here now.
Oh, yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
The word surgeon is here. So what's this? I want to come to, you want to say something.
Yes, live on YouTube right now with Louis Cantion. Says, I've been tuning in for a year and a half now, representing the American Christian music industry.
Wow.
Greetings from Miami, Florida, Prophet.
Amen. I think we need to go to Miami.
Oh, yes. Also, yeah. Prophet, we've got God Kind LaBelle says, 7 years in heaven, I'm so excited.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Lisa M., God's daughter, says, all for our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 And I'm going to try and make it very, 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 very simple. So I'm not going to really get too deep with you, but we're going to get deeper than other places, but it's going to be something. So I want to pray for you wherever you are. Raise your hands wherever you are. Raise your hands wherever you are. And always understand, whether you're watching us from your house, from your car, it's still a church service. Where two or three are gathered. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Where two or three are gathered, there I'm in the midst of them. So church is everywhere, and the Holy Ghost is everywhere. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for these that are here right this minute, that are watching, that are under the influence of my voice, that you get them to another level of understanding, that this truth is fed into their spirits and change the trajectory of their lives, financially, physically, spiritually, that everything changes from now on in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hello, somebody. I want us to open our books in the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. Revelation, chapter number 21. Open your Bibles in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Are you getting this now? I remember moving in South Africa, and you'll get it when you get home. In Joburg with one of my spiritual sons, and just driving his nice car, you know, his Rolls Royce, and I'm in there, and we're supposed to go to my house. And he kept on getting lost. But I wasn't really, you know, noticing what was taking place. Because I was thinking he has got the sat-nav on and everything that happening. Then later on realized, no, we are actually way off, like 40 minutes out. And that's when I got off my phone. I'm like, what's happening? You know my son anyway. What's happening? He's like, I think I got lost. I said, why are you not using the sat-nav? He said, I used it once when I was visiting my cousin's graveyard. They said in graveyard, and when I got there, the sat nav said, you have reached your final destination. Anyway. So anyway, It takes some time to get what I just said, but the point is, the grave is not your destination.
Amen.
There is a destination.
Amen.
But heaven is even not your destination. And I hear a lot of people thinking, heaven is my destination. When we get to heaven, eternal. And when you hear preachers preach, they start telling you that in heaven, there is no crying. In heaven, you'll be just moving around, doing what? Trust me. It's not exactly like that.
Come on.
It's not like that. They are confusing the new heaven and the new earth that comes after the millennial reign. So we have this thing that we have that is called the rapture. All right? So we have the rapture, and from the rapture, 7 years in heaven, and I will explain 7 years in heaven, and then we come back and judgments take place. And in those judgments, you understand that there will be so many things that will be revealed, even the children you were not supposed to have.
Wow.
That you gave when you were not supposed to be giving birth to that rascal. Anyway.
Wow.
Isaiah himself, at one time, told the prophet Zechariah that, look, prepare yourself for you are about to die. And he begged God and said, I want to survive. I want more years. And God understood and gave him mercy and grace. But God was stopping his life for one reason. Because when he was left to survive, to live long, what then happened was he gave birth, all right, to the worst king that Israel ever had. Those 15 years that he was given, God knew, you need to go before you give birth to this one. That can trouble my people. So on the day the rapture happens and we get to heaven, we are clothed with a different body. But when we get there, our bodies will give us the information. Why your mother died. Why your father died. And you begin to understand it quickly. That, oh, it was because of this reason. Oh, she needed to go. You're not getting me. So many people, when we said we were going to talk about the 7 years in heaven, they were asking, you know, what if I get to heaven and I find that my father is not there, or my mother is not there, or my friend that I was expecting to see is not there. The point is, you are looking at it from a natural perspective, where your body now responds differently to what happens. But when you are clothed now with a different body, the Bible says their body is celestial and their body is terrestrial.
Yes, sir.
That means there are bodies that are for heaven and there are bodies that are for here.
Right.
When you are in this body, you quickly understand things in a natural way. You have disappointments, you have anger, you have rage, you have some kind of response you give. You're getting what I'm trying to say. I don't know if you're getting this right. Now, so when you get a new body and you get to heaven, in that new body, you understand why things had to happen. Even if you are told your best friend is not in heaven, your body gets it. Nah, you're not getting me. You're not getting me. So here it is. So the biggest scripture that has really bothered a lot of people before I really proceed to explain to you why it's only 7 years is actually the book of Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 1. If Pastor Ronnie, can you help me read this? Verse number one.
Revelation 21, verse number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a new heaven
mm-hmm.
and a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
For the first heaven and mm-hmm. the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
Mm. Now, notice here, immediately when you hear this, a lot of preachers then take it to mean there is a new heaven coming. To do what?
Mm.
We already have God with us. Millennial reign, God is sitting with us in Israel. He is there. Then after that, there is Armageddon, and after that, a new heaven and a new earth. New heaven to do what? You mean God is going to leave us here and go back to heaven in the new heaven and the new earth? No, the word there is Ouranos,
okay.
Which means the celestial body, the solar system.
Mm.
Oh, they didn't get that. Okay. It's not talking about heaven. It's talking about the solar system. It has nothing to do with where God stays.
Mm-mm.
So preachers are taking it out of context. Mm. Not just out of context. It's wrong, and it's like committing theological murder.
Come on.
Where you take something God is telling you, the solar system, where Jupiter is and where the Milky Way is, and you say, oh, that's it. That's heaven. No! God won't go there. He's talking about, and when you read Peter, I like Peter because Peter confuses the people who say there is global warming because that new heaven we have warm, it will be warm. So when we're talking about, notice there is not even a sea. So right now I know what you're thinking. Some of the things that you think are going to happen in heaven are not going to happen in heaven as you hear. Where it says, and the lamb and the lion shall feed together, and this shall happen, there is no more tears. He's talking about the new earth,
yes, sir.
Not heaven.
Amen.
Heaven is only 7 years, and that's it.
Hallelujah.
And watch this now. And it's not even 7 years to you. It's 7 years to the people that are here. To us, it would be like a second. You don't even feel you were there.
Wow.
All right.
This is crazy.
People are thinking, oh, we are zapped out of here by the rapture and boom, in heaven, and someone is sitting there, we go and sit, we are sitting, we are enjoying for years, 7 years. Say, oh, check your time, say, hey, 7 years. No. Not in that location. In that location, there is no time. It's only time that is here. That's why eternity is easy for God to live. He doesn't need to do many years. It's like a second has just gone by. You see, when we are zapped by the rapture and get to the place where we need to get to, it will be so amazing that when we say we are now in heaven, you'll be like, oh, we are now 3.5 years into it. The moment we arrive. they're missing it. They're missing it. So our mindset of what are we going to be doing in heaven? You are crazy. It's not going to be like that. I remember one time I was singing in a vision and in the vision of the Lord, and I remember getting to this location, and you know, you can read it in some of my writings, and when I was there, I could see my brother, you know, who went home to be with the Lord, and talking to him like that, you know, in the middle of talking to him, he said, I need to rush and receive, our uncle has just arrived, meaning my mom's brother, and he rushed to where the saints were coming in from the earth. And he had them, showing him his leg, and, you know, he went home, he passed away because of cancer. And that was way back. And he's talking to this guy, and he's so excited to show this guy his body. And I remember, that's my uncle, he's just gotten into, that means he's dead. I came out of the vision, called my mom. My mom was like, no, he's still alive. I'm like, but I saw him in heaven. Just imagine, 2 days later, that's when he died. Meaning to say, I saw him die in heaven. Oh, no. Okay. So some people, we are walking with them now and they are dead already.
Hey.
No. You didn't get this. Some people have done 1 year dead in the realm of the spirit. They are already gone. God has already received them in the realm of the spirit. They are still walking here doing some funny stuff. I know you're still not getting me. You're still not getting me. I get a lot of people that don't understand the things of the spirit. Why is it possible that I can see somebody who is dead in heaven, arriving in heaven, and is still alive on earth? The reason is simple. The spiritual realm is faster. Time is not considered there. So when you arrive, the things that are still happening on earth have already taken place. That's why God is called the Alpha and the Omega. The one who starts with the end before he starts the beginning.
Amen.
So imagine, maybe you died. And all this walking around you're doing on earth right now, is God giving you a chance so he can reverse the system in heaven? What has already taken place? The angels have already received you. Now you see. That's why the Bible says, God is not slow. Peter says it. God is not slow. Not slack as some consider slackness. But is merciful. Long suffering. That he knows you need to get right. Now watch this now. You're getting it right. You're getting it. Some people are getting it. Are you getting it? Are you really getting it? So watch this. Watch this. So if we have this thing that you can actually get in the spiritual realm and see a dead person who is not dead on earth, but has arrived in heaven. Times are different. And if then times are different, the time for heaven is not really 7 years the way you consider it. To you, it will be like a second.
Yes, sir.
But to the person now who is in another realm, what happens? They will be counting 7 years, 3.5 years, 3.5 years. And where do we get these 7 years? It's in the book of Daniel. If you read the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, 25, going forward, you realize something very, very important, that it talks about 70 weeks, you know, as, you know, just the round of figures. 70 weeks. And when he's dealing with 70 weeks, we understand that a week, by prophetic interpretation, we understand that a week is actually a whole 7 years now. Because 7 days in a week, okay? So when you get that, to understand that, you realize 7 weeks. But watch this. Hear this. Daniel 9:25, so that you see it. Daniel 9:25. Quickly.
Daniel 9:25. Mm-hmm. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem.
From the going forth of the commandment. Watch this.
Yes, sir. To restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks.
Notice this. It says, to the building, from the restoration of Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
All right? To the coming of the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you're getting
this. Yes, sir.
I don't want to kind of dwell on this one because it's very deep. And I didn't come here to give you this. You know, there are other things that we have to talk about.
Yes, sir.
But it's the theological side of it that I just needed to give you, so that when we give you the next time we come here, part two, you get to understand the calculations.
Yes,
but watch this. It says from the beginning, from the restoration, that time. All right?
Yes, sir.
Read it.
Mm-hmm. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks.
Notice.
And three.
It says the prince. The prince.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
The prince. Here is the problem. Jesus refuses. If you look at the word prince, you will realize that it is actually, the rendering is actually also king. Now, if you look at it, it says from the declaration of it, not the rebuilding of Jerusalem, but the declaration that it shall be restored.
Mm-hmm.
To the coming of the Messiah, it is to be this time. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Are you flowing?
Yes, sir.
Now, the biggest problem you find there is this. Jesus refused to be called king. He refuses. They say you are king of the Jews. He says no. When they wanted to make him king, he refused.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so we have no time. We can look at the time of when Jesus was born and say, is this the time where we say to the coming of the Messiah? Then we look at it, no. But this should be the coming of a king.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zechariah 9 tells us the king is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we know for sure the king should be coming.
Amen.
But we look at one occasion where Jesus changed the whole thing.
Hallelujah.
And he changed it, and theologians have calculated that it was 6 April 32 AD.
Come on.
The day he changed to the exact date.
Come on. Wow.
Now, and this is real calculations.
Mm.
And from 14 March 445 BC, to 6 April, you find that it's actually 173,880 days.
Whoa.
Exact timing.
Whoa.
Of what Daniel said.
Mm.
From when it was declared that the restoration is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're getting it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, break it down.
That was Artaxerxes who declared that the restoration is coming. And he said from the declaration of it, from when it shall be declared that it would be restored, not from the restoration, but from the declaration.
Amen.
Now, when you find that time and you say, okay, let's start from the day it was declared to the time, and look at the time when all these weeks of Daniel are measured and end on. Guess what we end on? We end on 6 April, 32 AD. So then we look at what happened in history, 32 AD, 6 April, what happened? Guess what? The only day Jesus claimed to be king.
Oh, wow.
All this time he said, I'm not king. One day he told his congregants, go into Jerusalem. He even gave them a password for a donkey.
Mm.
When they say, who needs this donkey?
Oh, yes.
Tell them,
oh, yes.
The master wants it.
Amen.
And the donkey is brought. Look, it's 6 April.
Mm.
Exactly. Listen, and this is not Daniel prophesying. Mm-mm. This is Gabriel who gave the dates, and they are on point to the... I'm talking about the zero margin of error.
Wow. Oh, glory.
He got it to the point, but he got it 69 weeks. And guess what God said? 69 weeks, 70 weeks. He needs 69. Then he gets a break with God. God says, the thing you are about to see, seal it, for it is not for this time. Mm. It is for a time to come. Then you get to the book of Revelation, you start dovetailing it and realizing we need 1 week left. Mm. And that 1 week now is the 7 years.
Jesus.
It all came from now, and I said, we're going to bring a chart when we start talking about, because I know a lot of people wanted to know, where am I getting 7 years?
Amen.
And I'm talking about, if we're talking about the finest prophecy and the sharpest prophecy in the Bible, is this one. Amen. Where God, for the first time, he says, I need a donkey to enter Jerusalem. We call it the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You all know it.
Yes, sir.
But when he enters into Jerusalem, we have one problem. Mm-hmm. He gets in there and he tells people, start singing. Blessed is he who comes in there. Name of the Lord.
Amen.
That's not a song you sing around in your churches. Mm-mm. That's for the entrance of the king. That's when the king is coming. This is the day that the Lord is made. We shall rejoice. It's not yours, that song. They sing it for each other, you know, in church. Revelation, if you don't have it, you act like a fool, foolish guy.
Come on.
I'm telling you, Lake of Revelation will give you a big job. You'll be singing in your church, choirs everywhere. You don't even know that song should not be sung anywhere. No. If you are singing it, if you are singing it, know for sure you are singing it because you are anticipating the Lord coming. I don't know if you are getting this
yes,
now.
Sir.
Some people are getting it and some people are very slow to get
yes,
it.
Sir.
And don't be sitting there bourgeois looking bourgeois or did say it's like a bourgeois or did say, you know, stuck up saying. No, this is church where you are.
That's right, man. That's right.
All right, are you getting this?
Yes,
are you getting it? So we have that figured out, and now we know this is exactly what begins to take place. That the 7 years is there. But what exactly are we going to go to heaven and be like? And what are we going to do in heaven? Number one. I don't know how to tell you this, but without being too open with you. When Adam was created, he had no reproductive organs. The Bible says, and God created him male and female. He created them and called their name Adam. They were in one body with no sexual organs. Yeah, you know, I know where I started this sermon. Now you're thinking, what does he want to say? Do you honestly think, how then does God say, now I'm getting into you and taking a rib and creating another thing that is not you? It is the loneliness of Adam that caused God to create a female.
That's right.
Watch this. But when he breathed into Adam, he didn't breathe a spirit of male. Let me rephrase. God didn't breathe in a male spirit into Adam. The body is male, but the spirit has no sex, no gender.
Uh-huh.
This wife of yours, this girlfriend of yours, is not a female in heaven. All right. I can see some people. Let me just see if they are getting it before I proceed.
Prophet Ruth Osazua says, hallelujah, I'm learning things I never knew. Thank you, Prophet.
Thank you.
The God kind Anisha's spirit has no gender.
Now, if you notice this now, you notice this with the issue of Adam. It's only the loneliness that God created a body. So your body is the one that has a womb. You don't have a womb. You're still not getting this now.
Come on.
Oh, this gender. You know, there's all these alphabets. LBGDQSTUVW+. Honestly. And plus, you know that plus actually means we are still continuing. We're just waiting for somebody to get confused and come in. People are so busy. This is why the question is so valid when we say, are we going to get married in heaven? It's all because people are thinking sexual reproductive organs. That's the reality of it. That's it. That's why we are answering these questions. That's why they are so important. To think, so I'm not going to see, you're going to see your wife, you're going to see your husband, but no reproductive organs. I see you. Somebody like, let's not go to heaven then. You need facts, you need to get facts. This is a reality. This is why it's so important when the Bible says, submit yourselves one to another. It's not talking about marriage. But it's realizing that you guys are actually spirits. You were just given a body to populate the earth. So there is no more need to populate the earth anymore. So so you think you're going to be going to the toilet in heaven? You never thought about these things. And the other nonsense that you have heard preachers talk about, I'm going to live in a mansion, you. We're gonna deal with that mansion of yours. Better have a mansion here on earth whilst you are here. There's no mansion for you there. Oh, you see, some people are angry now. Like, I need my mansion. There is not one single mansion in heaven for you. All right, so let's deal with that. Then we deal with your house. I can see.
Let's go.
I don't know if you're getting this now. So if we're looking at the idea that when this thing happens that we call rapture, and it's going to happen and it's imminent, what is going to take place to our, what is going to happen to our body? 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to show you some. 1 Corinthians 15. Lenduzi krando zalembro. Kete bere kandoski ankradiskiras. Listen, it's going to be so exciting, I'm telling you. But you then get to understand why things are like the way they are. All right. I'll start from verse number 35. And here he says, but some men will say, are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Here.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? How are the dead raised up? It's a question, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's a question. Some of you think you already know. And with what body do they come? Thou fool? I like Paul. Paul says, you are foolish. But the guy just asked the question. Paul says, a foolish person. Thou which you saw is not quickened, is not given life except it die. So he is telling you the prerequisite for going is death. But then there is another one where Jesus comes by the rapture and you avoid death. But here it is. Here, wait. And that which you saw not the body that shall be. Hey. Say this body here. This one. The one you have right there. The one you dress with Gucci and all the other. That one, he is saying it's a seed. It will die. It's not coming back. Oh, I know what you think. You were thinking this body, one day resurrection happens, your body will come out and you start walking like that. Thank you. God called you a fool through Paul. Let's read it here. And that which you sow is not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. It can be wheat, it can be maize, it can be anything that you sow, right? Watch this. Are you there? Verse number 38. But God giveth it a body as he pleases. Oh, they didn't get it. And to every seed its own body. Oh, you didn't get it. If you were to sow right now maize and put it in the ground, maize seed, put it in the ground, what happens? Does it come out as stuck up seeds? A green shoot comes out of a white seed. It's not that thing that's coming up. It's a completely different thing that comes out. Your body is going to be completely different to this one you have. I know you are waiting for your body to come back. Says he gives it as he pleases. So we are going to be different. Wow. Different bodies. Different bodies that are coming up. Amen. And you are expecting your body to be the one to come up. Says if you saw this one, he will give you a different one comes up. Are you getting this?
Yes.
He will give you a different one will come out. So which body is coming? Says we are going to be given a different body. One that can stand anything. That is indestructible. I know some of you are getting it. Are you getting it or you have gone home? Are the people getting it?
We have John saying, my spirit is so revived just listening to you teach the word. Thank you, prophet.
Amen. Amen.
Mary on Atomgram is live saying, I will come with a new body.
Amen. Maria on YouTube says, go deeper, prophet. We need all the revelation you have to give.
Amen. Now, just go to 1 Corinthians 13:12.
1 Corinthians 13 from verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
For now we see through a glass.
Now we see through a glass.
Darkly.
Mm-hmm.
But then face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know in part.
Mm-hmm.
But then shall I know even as I
am known.
Also am
now,
known.
Now it tells us that our bodies,
amen,
will get a certain information. It will be so intellectually attuned to Christ that immediately we begin to know him as he knows us. So whenever you understand that, oh, your relative is not in heaven, immediately you get it the way Jesus gets it.
Mm. Hallelujah.
I know you again. They're missing this. And how many years? Only 7 years. Please believe it. Only 7 years. There is no other time. After 7 years, we do a millennial, 1,000 years on earth. And after that, the Armageddon happens. And after the Armageddon, the new heaven and the new earth. And the heaven meaning what? Solar system.
Yes, sir.
Not heaven. A solar system.
That's right.
Planetary body. And preachers are thinking there is another heaven we're going to. No way. No way in the scripture. It's not there. The beauty you hear of that we're going to sit like this and animals are going to feed with another animal, this dangerous animal with this dangerous, is talking about a new earth. It's not talking about heaven. There is no heaven for a lion and this and this. Relax now.
Hey.
And to think it's in the Bible and people don't preach it. Because somebody told them there is a heaven to go to. And everyone is really losing their minds. They don't even want to do anything with their own life. They are waiting for a mansion to appear. You'll be disappointed. I'm telling you, one day you'll be like, what on earth was I waiting for? I'm telling you, people will be like, I think I need to fix my life here because I don't know where this mansion is going to come from. Somebody told me there is a mansion. All right. I want you to go to John 14, verse number 23. And here's where you really need to listen.
John 14, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, mm-hmm, he will keep my words,
mm-hmm,
and my Father will love him,
mm-hmm,
and we will come unto him, mm-hmm, and make our abode with him.
The word abode is the word mone. I need to repeat this for you people with, you know, we need houses. Now, the word is mone, M-O-N-E, abode. That's the word also for mansion. So Jesus is saying, I will come and stay in you, the mansion. Now, go on verse 1 and verse number 2.
Verse 1.
Oh, I'm getting people to be angry. They were waiting for a mansion.
Verse,
when you 14. Find a mansion here, buy it. There's no mansion there. Read this.
John 14, verse 1.
Mm.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Don't trouble your heart.
Ye believe in God.
John 14, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Believe also in me.
Yes.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
In my Father's house.
In my Father's house.
Are many
there
mansions.
Are many money. Many bodies. Jesus said, I go to prepare bodies for you. Not houses. Oh, yeah. It's spiritual bodies. Celestial bodies. And you are rushing to think it's building houses. I think I'm getting really, people are really getting disappointed with this. I wish I was here to tell you you have a mansion up there with a swimming pool. Why would you need a mansion in heaven? For what? Are you afraid of rain? Is there cold there?
No.
Robbers will come and rob you in heaven. I thought Judas and all the other people are in hell. Whatever you want them to be. All the thieves and the robbers, they should be in hell. What are you afraid of? And what is heaven anyway? Says Abraham's bosom, his body. What did Jesus say? He said, me and my father will come and make our body inside you. Even God. Notice. Says in him we have our being. We move and have our being. In him. Right now as you're standing right now. According to Jesus, you are swimming inside him. Your eyes are just closed, so you won't know where you are. Notice what the Bible says. It says we are coming to Mount Zion. Have you ever seen the mountain? All the time you were moving around. Are you on the mountain? You see, that it's a way of speaking. Because in the realm of the spirit, God knows where you are. It says we are baptized into Christ. Which day did you wake up inside something? Like, you know, you are swimming. But according to Christ in the realm of the spirit, you are actually inside swimming in him. You've been baptized, you are dipped inside him. So you are thinking there is some mansion that will come and you'll be like, yeah, I'll queue up, please. When I was taken to heaven, I saw the mansions myself. I even saw where prophets stay in mansions. Now I'm confusing you now. I saw prophets, estates for prophets, estates for pastors, estates for singers, ministers. And said, they are not even in the same places. Notice this. And when I was living there, God said, but your body is the mansion. I said, but what am I seeing here? He said, what you are seeing here is your perspective of it from with this body you have.
Wow.
So the body I have, when it saw the actual bodies that are prepared for you, it interpreted that as a house. So when people have a vision of heaven today, they will see mansions, they will go to from one mansion to the other, sit in there and see tables, nice ones. And in their minds, it means God is building a house for me. No. You are the house. Now, you understand now? Now you need to have a house here. We will all die. Yeah. You know, broke people like to say those things, eh? Broke people, when they're broke, they're like, we will all die. No one survives forever. We will all die. When people die 6 feet, but we are not dead yet. Take advantage of this life. You know people like, yeah, we'll all die. Yeah, no one lives forever. Yeah, but whilst we're not living forever, some are doing 9 to 5, some are doing 9 to 9. This life is different. Make use of it. So just imagine what you're doing right now. Expecting God to give you some mansion somewhere. God will give me some mansion. I get it. You understand it in a few minutes. Lando Sicrado.
Huh? We have Tolo who's saying, I actually used to think of the mansion her own mansion in heaven with flowers all around it. Cure my ignorance, Major.
But listen, if you are taken to heaven right now, just like I have, you know, over 5 times of visitations, and I even have a book on this.
That's right.
I have seen the mansions. You come back interpreting it in a different way. When I went to heaven and I was shown hell, and I was shown heaven, and when I was shown hell, I was even given 7 things that make you go to heaven.
Whoa.
But notice, I came here and preached it. And God visited me and said, you preached it wrong. I said, but you told me this. He said, no, that's your interpretation of your own flesh. Because your revelation was law. It wasn't grace. So you came and gave people 7 things. Because you are legalistic in your brain. That's why you find that the book on heaven stayed for years. I never wrote it. Because the time I wanted to publish it, that's when God said, you did it wrongly. I had listed 7 things you need to get to heaven. I had them. 7. Not 10 commandments. No, this was 7. At least I was better than God. God was on 10. So, because my revelation was on law, I came back and realized, oh, this is you do this, you do this, you enter. My interpretation was based on mine. Just when you're dealing with eschatology, all right, it's like you then realize that your interpretation of your eschatology is really, 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 really in a very, very bad, bad position, because when you are getting eschatology is the end of the, all right, end of the world, you know, end times. That's yeah. Eschatos, end of the end. Tology, start of the. All right. So it's not some big word. So if you are dealing with eschatology, your interpretation is really heavily reliant on your hermeneutics. It means the theory of interpretation. How you interpret scripture, it will affect how you understand the end of the world. I don't know if you're getting this.
Yeah.
So most preachers are not wrong. They are wrong on hermeneutics. The way they interpret the scriptures. Not that they don't understand that there is end of the world coming. They know it. But they have already ended somewhere. We're going to heaven. To say, but the Bible says, for Christ will come with his saints. That one skipped them. Are you flowing?
Yes,
I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Verse 1 is very good. I like verse 1.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
No. Read it again, because we don't want any problem here with with house people. Read it again.
Verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
For we know.
He gets it, right?
Yes, sir.
What is the word know there? I want you to get this.
Eido.
Eido. We are spiritually aware. You know, when you sit in heaven, awareness, you can't explain. That's Eido. When you just, well, like, I know what I'm talking about. So, but how do you know? I can't describe how I know, but I'm 100% correct. You know where you can't be moved? So he says, I have a certain knowledge where I can't be moved, because this is spiritual awareness I have.
Amen.
Something given to my spirit, imparted to my spirit, that you can't even argue. You can bring 29 versions of the Bible and a shotgun. You'll not convince me. He says, I know. Let's go. Sure.
For we know that if our earthly house...
Which house is this one? You people with no houses, you are not involved in that. This is not for people who are renting and stuff like that. This is for people, not even for mortgages, because that house belongs to the bank. What is this one for? Read it again.
For we know that if our earthly house...
Pastor Ronnie, is it talking about people with houses?
No, sir.
It's talking about your body. And God is already calling it a mansion.
Amen.
Say, this mansion here will be replaced with another mansion.
Amen.
Read it.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle,
this one,
were dissolved,
if it goes,
we have a building of God.
We have another one. Another what?
A house not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens.
Okay. This is where Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a house for you. He says to replace this house. So we now have an example of what this is. It's a house according to God. In fact, God, remove house, put body.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to finish.
Verse number 1.
I hope I did not finish you.
For we know
<Let's go.
laughs> that if our earthly body...
For if our earthly body
of this tabernacle were dissolved,
this tabernacle,
we have a building of God, a body not made with hands.
Repeat this with body again.
Yes,
these people need to understand. You know, I know repeat is enough, but let me use a certain African language with English inside. Repeat again. Let's go.
Yes,
when you say repeat, you don't need again, but this one, you repeat again. Let's go.
For we know that if our earthly body of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a body of God, a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Now I want you to repeat. Let's go.
For we know.
Let's go. If our earthly body
of this tabernacle
were dissolved,
we have a building of God.
We have a building of God.
A body not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens.
Give me that scripture.
Yes, sir.
Landusia pactu Venus. Now, this is before we know. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God.
Amen. Amen.
Shalom kredezu krandos. Haya. Haya, ya, ya. So we know that if this body dies, or it is removed during the rapture, are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we have a building of God. We have another body. And house. Do you see? That's emphasis. It's telling you there is a building, but it's called a house. So you know what your body is what? It's not some body. No, this is a house. It's a mansion.
Amen.
So the Bible is literally telling you there is another mansion. You have a mansion. There is a mansion coming. I imagine that destroys all your hope for a mansion. You never had anything on earth. You were already ready to die and go somewhere. Now all of a sudden, your angel comes in and tells you, shows you the real vest to say, no, this is a house. Brothers and sisters, when you hear mansions, buy them now. They're not coming from another location. No. Like, oh, but anyway. We have the building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. Oh, says here this one. That this one is pain in it.
Hallelujah.
We need another one with no pain. This one is pain. This is pain.
Yes, sir.
So all the pain associated with this world, this whole thing, this whole thing you see here, is because we have this body. Remember, we react.
Hallelujah.
We react. That's the biggest problem. Amen. Our bodies react. Your emotions react. So this body here, listen, if somebody says nonsense about you and you don't care, do you think it affects you? No. Or you see it as comedy. This is entertainment.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So it is the reaction that really matters. How you react to what someone says, how you react to your pain, how you react to what they do to you. That's the point. But this body here, if you have not trained it like some of us.
Hallelujah.
I don't have a thick skin.
Carabros.
I just find things funny. So it's like, come in, like, sit down, let's see. Like, this guy is getting foolish. You see, that's exactly how you go in. What is that? It's your reaction to it.
Amen.
But this body, if it's not trained, then no more reaction is what causes pain.
Amen.
Now it says here, we are groaning in this. It is the one that needs rent. Yeah. Your house, your real self, you inside, you don't need rent. They didn't get it.
Come on now.
Your house doesn't need rent. You don't need rent. But your house, for this body to be safe, to be away from the elements. Someone says, okay, prophet, but what about this earthly thing that Jesus, when he comes, the new heaven and the new earth, where is it? I've already given you. Ouranos, which means solar system. And notice what the Bible says. It says, when the Lord comes on the day of the Lord, the elements will melt.
Amen.
What does he say? It's actually telling you that the solar system will melt. This is now being consumed by the fire of God. It will be consumed so that you get a new one. But for the 1,000 years, the millennial reign, it is this earth, this old rock is still here. So when people hear the life of the old rock, hear that we're going to live in the millennial reign, and they hear the new heaven and the new earth, they think it's a description of heaven. Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a new house. I don't need to interpret this. You get the point. How many of you wear your own houses? I think I need to just wait here and just, you know, give you time to think.
That's right.
A little bit more. Tell me when you are done. Are you wearing a mansion? This is my issue. When you go home, we are coming back with our houses. Put them away. So it's only 7 years. These houses are going to be built for 7 years, and then we do 1,000 years here with no houses.
Come on now.
I think I came to the wrong church.
Glory.
For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. Mm-hmm. Is it a house that makes you naked?
Mm-hmm.
How many have come out of their house wearing everything but like, oh my God, I'm now naked, let me go back in the house. Paul is saying we shall be found naked. If we don't have the new body, mm-hmm. then we are naked.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, for that are in this tabernacle do groan. No, they didn't get it.
Come on.
If we get to verse number 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
then verse number 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the mm-hmm. thing that is coming on us,
come on now.
Is going to give us immortality.
Glory.
We're no longer mortal men. We are now immortal. Remember what the Lord ministered to us during the New Year's Eve? The days of men are over.
Amen.
We have entered the days of immortal. What are you talking about?
Glory, glory, glory.
Brothers and sisters, I can continue. I can keep on going. There are no mansions in heaven. I can even see people on the Zoom, they're very angry, they are sad. Why am I mansion? You have just taken my mansion. You know? You can see, right? Look at the Zoom guys. They're like, oh, you've taken my mansion. This was their only hope. Some of them were their only hope. These people watching this. Your only hope for a mansion. When we do our Millionaire Academy, people are like, why are they doing this in church? When we do business or seminars, why are they doing this in church? We know the mansion is not there. It's here. Oh my God.
Let's go, Major.
Please, you buy iPhone 12 next time. Okay. Are you getting this now? Are you getting this or you've gone home? All right.
I have wondered what we would be doing in heaven because teachings about it were not clear, but now I know. Thank you, Prophet.
Amen, 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 amen. Now, so let's go to John 14, verse number 1. Again, read it.
John 14, mm-hmm. verse number 1. Mm-hmm. Let not your heart be troubled. Mm-hmm. Ye believe in God, mm-hmm. believe also in me.
I want
me.
You to notice something. It says, don't be troubled.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Verse believe two, what?
Believe in God. Mm-hmm. Believe also in me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2. In my Father's house mm-hmm. are many mansions.
Mm-hmm.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
I go to prepare a place for you. You think Jesus would turn rocks into bread if he wanted to? The whole mountain will become a loaf of bread with the creek that flowing with butter. He wants to go and build a house that ABC builds in 2 weeks. He needs to go to heaven. Spend all this time in heaven. He's not come back for 2,000 years building houses. What kind of construction is this? I think he needs to just come back here and we teach him how to build houses fast. 2,000 years you are building a house. It lines up with Peter who says, God is not slow or slack, as some consider slackness. So he is waiting for more people to repent and is adding bodies. Bodies, spiritual bodies. So that when he comes and is in the clouds, he is bringing the bodies with him. And remember what the book of Corinthians told us, that when the body dies, what happens? It comes out a different one that matches with what he has on in heaven, in the clouds.
Mm.
and the dead in Christ will connect to their bodies first whilst we are waiting. In that twinkling of an eye, the dead are the ones who start. They get the new body. Not that one, that old one. You won't feel any hunger. If you want to eat, it's because you chose to. Like you, if you just want to feel like you have eaten the whole thing of whatever, chicken, whatever it is, you can just feel the taste, it will be happening. Your body, you decide, what do you want to eat today? Is it something I've never eaten before? Fruits, someone. Like all of a sudden it's in your hands or it's in your mouth. Why would you need a body? It's just for enjoyment. Entertainment. Eating will be for entertainment. I know some of you. You already do that one here. The entertainment is up, right? So you are having a different body that responds differently. Why would we need an actual mansion in heaven? To sleep? For shelter? For what? Honestly, if you think about it, why would you need it? You know, sometimes you wait for people to answer. Why are you needing this one? I don't know if they're getting there. Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 4 again.
God wishes to say, while this revelation is sinking inside my inside, you are destroying my ignorance, but I'm catching some feelings, though, about the mansion.
Catch a bus, don't catch feelings.
2 Corinthians yes. 5, from verse number 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, mm-hmm. we have a building of God, mm-hmm. and a house not made with hands, mm-hmm. eternal in the heavens. Mm-hmm. Verse 2. Mm-hmm. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven.
Now I want you to go Philippians 3:20. So we are earnestly desiring to be clothed. I want you to get that. Yeah.
Philippians 3 from verse 20. Mm-hmm. For our conversation is in heaven,
yes.
from whence also we look for the Savior, mm. the Lord Jesus Christ.
Listen to that. What are we looking for? His coming. Yes,
sir. Uh-huh. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body?
Who shall change? Notice. A lasso. Okay. Mm.
Yes, sir. Who shall change our vile body?
No, you didn't get it.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you're getting this.
Yes, sir.
Are you in Philippians?
Yes, sir.
Are you in Philippians?
Yes, sir.
Kalomondes kabung geligita konda kradizide set of Rodriguez. Philippians. Now. Now, if you look at this, I want you to see something that happens. We have a word that we call to be transformed. Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, transfiguration. Transformation is a change in the sense that you get to a person has been transformed into a good guy. That means he's still the same guy. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Now, this one is metaschematizo. I think we dealt with it another time. I think it was Pastor Ronnie who dealt with it. It means to transfer in a figure. To self-dispose. All right. In other words, it's like I'm standing here and another body appears here. It's still me, but it's a different body. This is the same with when we get to Alaso. Watch this. So he says, we are waiting for verse number 21.
Verse number 21. Who shall change our vile body?
This vile body will be removed.
That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body.
Notice. Uh-huh. So our body will look like whose?
Right.
Like Jesus' body.
Yes.
Wow. If Jesus could appear 500 people, we appear 500 people.
Hey.
If Jesus never felt hungry, same for Nana. Are you flowing?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what the body we are receiving will be like? Jesus' body. Walk through walls.
Yeah. Wow.
And that body he was with is not the body we will be transformed into. No, they didn't get it. Because Jesus got to a point where he said, touch me for flesh and blood. For spirit has no There's no flesh or bones. That means he was in his own body, which is like this, that went to heaven. But that one, he says, his glorious body, the one he had before he got the flesh one, is the one we will have. Same. Not 2 degrees different or 3 degrees off. Same one. Jesus here, I'm here. We do the same thing. That's why it's called a co-heir. A joint heir, rather. Meaning say Jesus, when we go in front of God like this, of course Jesus is God, but you understand. Yeah. He's standing here, we're standing here, God is sitting there, and guess what? And God says, who has got the shares of heaven more than the other? We are all 50%. 50-50. Wow. He made it so. It's not human angel claiming it. Jesus, we have 50%, not 50.1%. 50-50. And the body is the same. What Jesus can do with that body. Oh, long credo bang, closer to Gareth. I don't know whether you're getting it or you're not getting it. Some people are getting it. So we have a problem when we think, you know, when we get to heaven, things will be like, okay, now prophets come here. These are the big guys. Listen, your own wife, your own, that wife of yours, that husband of yours, the one you used to play around with, that one, it's a male. It's a female, but when we are there, you know that was my wife, but we have a different body. And that one, you can't do nothing with her that you would do with a woman. You can't. Why? Let's say for some reason you want to. There's nothing you can do it with. That body is nothing like that. So when you look at the Bible telling you in the book of Mark that we shall be like the angels, for they are not going to get married. They shall be like the angels. It's not talking like Mary, angels don't marry. No, it's talking about angels not having reproductive organs. They are genderless. So I kept telling you, there is something beyond two people meeting and being intimate with each other. There's something beyond that. Something better than that. But because you are carnal, you think no. So you mean to say, I can't get married in heaven. Why? And we say, well, what do you really want to get married for? To just move with your wife going like, yeah, I'm with her now. She's mine. That's what you're trying. That's what you're trying to do. Right? Like, God, you know, you need to fix this one. You will know for sure this person will also know this one was my wife. But you understand there were functions for earth.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lenkada Guleman Crevetos Garadale Dosia. Now, so it says if we don't find ourselves, we might find ourselves uncovered. So the mansions are not what you think they are. Will I feel like in a mansion? Beyond a mansion. You won't even need it. If you can walk inside Christ, in Him we have our being. We move. That means in your own body, you can move. No, they didn't get it. No. I think here is where you're missing this. That means you can actually do 20 miles in your own body. Walking.
Wow.
In a park inside you. No, they're missing this. I can see people missing it. You can tell people are missing it because they are thinking from a natural perspective. So, watch this. So, prophet, when does it change? You do a millennial reign when you come back here. You're still in the same body. When you are about to get the new year into the new heaven and the new earth, that's when your memory is wiped. Here's the scripture. He shall wipe away all your tears. If he's going to wipe away your tears, that means he has to wipe out everyone who was involved in bringing those tears. Because you remember them. See, they're missing that. So definitely your the area, your blind side, the areas of the people that hurt you are going to be wiped from your memory. Now, if it is why he was your wife now, you know this sequence now. You won't even remember her when you get in there. Somebody's like, hallelujah. As I know the Bible says, and there's another pastor who preached and said, bring your burdens to Jesus. If the man brought his wife on Sunday. You know, you'll get it when you get home. Some people are. He came carrying his wife like, what are you, what's happening? He said, I brought my burdens like you said. We need to bring our burdens to Jesus. Now, understand. So when you look at this, you think it's just a body. Right now for you to even understand what I'm saying is, it's impossible why you have this body. So this body has got information, knowledge you build over years that a body does this. It has two legs. It moves. It is hands. That's where your problem is right this minute. But the reality is, when you have that body, you have a different understanding. You know things that it can do that you never... Jesus ate very few times. Very few times. He ate even for enjoyment. They would come to him and after going to buy food in the marketplace. In the marketplace, they would come to him and say, Master, are you hungry? He says, I have food you know not of. It says in the desert they ate the food of what? Of angels. But they were hungry, they remained hungry. But if you take this one, hey, he's calling himself food. His own body says it's food. He says if you eat this bread and drink this, if you eat my flesh and drink this blood, He's considering his own body food. This is why he was born where? Do you know where Bethlehem is? House of bread. And he came and that's what it means. And he comes and says, I'm the bread of life. Sometimes you become like Ruth and Naomi, who left the house of bread to go to a place of poverty, only to come back and look for the house of bread again. You can live where you get the source of inspiration, the reality of the gospel like this one, and find a location where it's so dry. Because you couldn't understand. You can't understand. You can't fathom what we are teaching here. Because it's not for babes. No. This is for the huios of God. Not for nepios. When you listen to me, you realize you can measure yourself. You can tell yourself, look, I don't think we are flowing. Open any way you like. Just go on YouTube and say mansions in heaven. There are people who are describing mansions with everything. That is I've seen the mansions and I was told, no, that's not it. And you read the scriptures. All the scriptures talking about mansions. They are really telling you it's a body. Not one verse that we've read about mansions that I've read all now. Not one. It's telling you there is a house up there. So we go in. We go in with our bodies that are genderless and we get to heaven. And when you get there, what will we be doing? Let me explain to you something brilliant. It's not what we do right now on earth. We tell Pastor Savannah, arrange a practice for music. And somebody says, no, my mother is COVID. Some funny, funny excuse. I can't do it. I can't do it. You say, okay. Come to church on Sunday. My job. In heaven, it's not going to be like, yeah. Time, 12 o'clock. Time of prayer. Everyone prayer, 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 prayer. There's nobody praying there. Oh, right there. No prayer in heaven. For the 7 years you are in heaven, there's no prayer. Do you understand that the disciples of Jesus never prayed? They were staying with the divine Jesus, the author of the universe, the unending oracle. Yes, the one they put on the cross and the cross couldn't hold him. Yes. They put in the grave and the grave couldn't contain him. The one, that same one. That even the angels when they came, they did not really roll the stone away for him. No, he had already gone out. They were staying with the divine entity that created them. They even spied the disciples of John praying and they came to him and said, hey, Master, we saw John's disciples praying. Can you teach us this thing? The only thing that they deserved, they requested prayer was they saw John's disciples pray. Jesus never taught them prayer. If you notice, that prayer is not even a functional prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. No, he was with them. Oh, thy kingdom come. No, the first words Jesus preached on thy kingdom come is, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So it wasn't coming. It was already here. He was just telling them a prayer. He said, when you pray, you say. He's saying, I don't pray the same way, but you go with this one. Flow with this one. I'm not part of it. You see people right there, our Father, who art in heaven, shut up. Our Lord be thy name, thy kingdom come. Foolishness can go crazy. Jesus knew exactly that these people here, they've spied, and he gave them a prayer that didn't work. Anyway, I don't know if you're getting this. Why can't they pray? Very, very simple. Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
Because they were already with him. You know, they couldn't even fast. One time they were eating on the Sabbath day, eating, and the Pharisees and you know, the scribes are coming in, and the religious leaders of the day, rather, are coming and said, oh, why are your disciples not fasting? Said, why would they fast when they're with me? Said, but when this one is taken, now they can fast. But now, no, they don't need to. In other words, they don't need to pray, I'm here. Prayer is because God is not there. Now he is sitting there. Why are you praying? We are in heaven with him. He's sitting there. Why are we praying? Praying for what? To say where? How? Needing what in heaven? What request do you have? Everything you desire is inside your body. As people are praying, we need to pray. We'll be praying. And when people right now, they don't like prayer. They do 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and they are tired. Now they're thinking we go to heaven for 7 years, just going like, like, look, it's not necessary. So they said, teach us how to pray. And if you notice that prayer does not end within the name of Jesus. Say it again. Our Father, let's go. And does he at in heaven? He's here. He said the kingdom is at hand already. It's already here.
Thy will be done on earth.
He said the will of God is already his word.
It is in heaven.
It
is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
He has already given us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. They are already here. There is no prayer for that. Let's go.
And forgive us our trespasses.
Our trespasses. The Bible says they are already forgiven. Their sins who I remember no more. They are still praying. Let's go. You see, it's conditional. So imagine if your forgiveness of sins is dependent on your memory. What if I forgive forget to forgive the ones that sin against me because I don't even know them? So I'm not going to be forgiven. Trust me, that prayer is not for you. Let's go.
Lead us not
what? Into temptation. The Bible says, if anybody gets into temptation, let them never say, God tempted me, for God tests nobody. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Let's go.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever and ever.
Does he say in the name of Jesus?
No.
Okay. Are you getting this?
Yes.
It's not mentioning in the name of Jesus. He's not even included. And you think it's a prayer for you to speak, you as a child of God, our Father who art in heaven, and you're expecting demons to run. Demons will be like, yes, let's go. Keep on, let's repeat it. Let's repeat it. That one is nice. Add more volume for those at the back. Are you getting this? So, what I was talking about when I was saying, Pastor Savannah, and we're about to finish, just part one will be done. What I was saying is this. She will say, come to the worship thing, and Pastor Ricky, who is the international events director, he'll be like, oh, we need to come to the event. And some people will be like, they will find some excuse. Because it's not in them. This is entertainment for them. So worship, being in a worship team is entertainment. When they hold the mic in front, they are seeing a gig. Michael Jackson. This is their concert time. Some of them are so disappointed we are no longer live. Can we just go live, so people can see us? And I hear your question. You're saying, oh, so how are those people going to stay in heaven? They are not because they'll be in hell. Anyway, it's another story, you know, like I remember today someone was like, oh, prophet, you know, please highlight on this issue. If I go there and I meet my enemy, I said, you won't go if you have an enemy there. No, I won't be answering that question. Why would you, what do you be doing in heaven when you have an enemy there? Like, what if I meet my enemy in heaven? Doing what? What is your enemy doing in heaven? What are you doing in heaven yourself? So when you are worshiping, I remember I saw a Jamaican. I remember Jamaican, basically Jamaican. That touched me more than anything. Because I was just expecting, you know, all of us to sing worship, you know. And people are singing in worship. And this guy is going with raga, pure raga, digital. I was like, Jesus Christ. Maybe because I knew raga then, way back, you know, way back I knew raga and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, no, God is saying we should worship. How is this guy, this person singing like this? And the Lord ministered to me. And he said, worship here is an expression of what they feel. So you're not going to be like, it's 12 o'clock, come and worship. No. You just stand there and look at him and go, yeah, man. Anyway, you didn't hear me. It's just something that comes out of you. You blurt out some blessings.
Oh, yes.
You immediately let out some words out.
Oh, yes.
You begin to compose right there in front of him, compose some song. It's just something that happens like, wow, you are beautiful, you are beautiful, you are beautiful beyond description. You just go there.
Amen.
A song comes out of you.
Yeah.
There is nobody, the choir from Chabalala, come. The Lord called for it like, hey, it's as we rehearse to the master. It's an expression. You'll be passing by like this, passing by and just see him pass by. Or just see the light of his glory. Or just see something that happens there. Or an angel passes by praising the Lord. And you go, amen! It just comes out of you. There is no planned time for worship.
Hallelujah.
Just imagine how many people thought they were going to be like, you know. You see, when it's because preachers preach it wrongly. That's why people hate going to heaven. If you say rapture right now, people are like, prophet, you know, I know you said maybe 22 years, but just try. Can't God give us even 10 more? You're thinking, Jesus, don't you want to go to heaven? No, the guy is already feeling the pinch like, no, God has to understand us. Why is he thinking God needs to understand us? Because he has no idea what will happen in heaven. He is thinking when we get to heaven, something will be so bad the way there, the food will be disgusting, maybe we are too many, who is cooking? He's like, oh my God. He says you go to heaven and realize the whole meal is gonna come from you know, from Devon. And he started thinking, fish and chips? No, I'm not doing this. Then the wise is now coming from Che. Deep down in Africa there. No, it doesn't work like that. It's going to be an involuntary kind of thing that I can't call it voluntary because voluntary is like, okay, I'm going to do it on my own. But it's like something you're walking in your bowels, let out a praise.
Hey.
That's what the Bible says. He was moved with compassion. The way this plankna. When the splankna of your spirit, the intestines of your spirit are pushed towards something, you find yourself praising him. You find yourself raising your hands. You find yourself kneeling down. That's why the angels keep on saying, holy, 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 holy. Why are they saying holy, holy, holy? Why? It's so simple. They're saying it because of one thing. They've heard Jesus. They've seen something beyond. They've seen his face look a different thing. They're like, tonight, it looks like this. The next second, it looks like that. They're like, holy, holy. It's a shock. I've told you before. That holy, holy you see. They sing holy, holy. It's actually the angels getting shocked every time. Holy. Then they look at each other like, did you see it? And another one says, holy. Look again, holy. From eternity past, they've been shouting, holy, holy, holy. It's a shock. They look at his face and it changes every time. They say, no way, what is this? If you have the ability to see him once, Ezekiel saw him, and he only saw the part here going down. Because the Bible says he lives in light that cannot be approached. Ezekiel saw the light, he says, I saw him. Isaiah saw him. And Isaiah was the most learned prophet of all time. The most learned, most respected. He was the holiest among the all the people. When he saw him, he came back. He said, ah, I'm a man undone. The man who had balls tightened, everything in character, tune, zero. He, after meeting him, he said, I dwell among evil people. I'm going home. So you think you are right with God, you. There are some champions there who think they are so holy. Meet him once. You realize, no. It's okay. I'll go for grace. The law is not working. Some of us went for grace. We realized way back that this thing here, if I rely on merit, I won't make it. I rely on grace. Grace is what matters. Other people, I'm about to finish. I'm just... Very few minutes, I'll be done.
Prophet Saint Nestor says, I'm truly loving this. Thank you so much.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Sandra Matambo says, only once... And we have Side Boy says, I love you, Prophet. Thank you for this.
Dr. Sam Shanika says, well, if the angels are shocked every time, what about us?
Now, but you see, because we have this, just I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15:50, yes, so that we conclude what we're doing.
Let's go, Major.
1 Corinthians 15:15. Mm-hmm. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, mm-hmm, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, mm, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not.
You see what he's saying? Saying if the dead don't rise, then there is a problem. We've lied about Christ. If you notice again, Paul says if Christ has not risen, then our faith is nothing. In other words, resurrection authenticates our faith. That's why the Muslims are busy saying Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He was not crucified, didn't die, sorry. They say it's Judas who was on the cross. Yeah. What are they trying to do? And some Christians are believing in them. Yeah, I think it's, yeah, the theology is okay. No, they have read where it says, Paul says, if our faith is valid, it should authenticate the resurrection. So the resurrection authenticates our faith. So the Muslims, they found a way to discount your faith by saying it's Judas on the cross. So it looks like a very good theory. Judas, Jesus didn't suffer. It was Judas all along. We just didn't see it. It says, in their Quran, it says, it just appeared so. That it was Jesus on the cross. So Christians are like, yeah, it might be true. It might be true. No, if you agree with that, you are saying your Christianity is false. Let's go.
Verse 16. Mm-hmm. For if the dead rise not.
If the dead do not rise.
Then is not Christ raised.
And Christ did not rise.
And verse 17.
You notice what he's saying? Mm-hmm. He's saying we know Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And notice this. I want you to understand in law, there is something that is called exception to the rule. Alright? What it means, the exception to the yes or rule rather. What it simply means is when your enemy begins to agree with you in court, that means it's taken as evidence. No, he didn't get that.
Mm.
If I come up here and say, you bet angel was caught stealing a Bugatti somewhere. It will not be stolen, it will be bought anyway. But anyway, another story. It's an example. Was caught stealing a Bugatti somewhere. What that does is when I'm in court and the person who is supporting my accuser begins to say, I saw angel at 2. 2 where? At his office. You were with him? Yes. And when was the Bugatti stolen? At 2. The court will be like, okay, I know it's hearsay that this person says he saw and you heard him. So you are relying on hearsay. Your friend said he saw Angel at 2. So that hearsay is not accepted in law unless it supports the accused.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get it. Yes, so now the lawyer of the accused then takes that same witness and says, hey, when did you see it? Say again? If somebody just comes and says, yeah, I heard he was in another location, the judge will be like, hearing here, hearsay doesn't work. But when the hearsay of your enemy is supporting you, then the judge considers it.
Yeah.
Now, we know for sure that they say Jesus was, did not die, or died but did not resurrect. But we have a problem. We have exception to the hearsay rule. Because the soldiers reported that the body is not in the in the tomb.
Yes, sir.
So we have an empty tomb by the enemy himself telling us.
Hallelujah. Amen.
They didn't get that.
Yes, sir.
The enemy told us that there is an empty tomb. That's very paramount.
Yes, yes.
We don't even need the Bible to tell us now. Mm-hmm. The enemy is accepted. They look, there is nothing in there. Go to Mecca. You will see. His bones are there. Hare Krishna. I don't know if that lady used to exist. 8 hands that are too short to deliver. And an elephant nose. Who knows? Snoot. Our God, if you go to Israel, that will be just you putting feet on top of geography. He's not there. He's risen.
Amen.
I said he's not there. He's risen.
Amen.
If you meet a Muslim, just tell him, do you know Muhammad? They'll say, no, I don't know him. Have you ever met him? No. What about you? What about Christianity? Do you know Christ? Yeah. Where do you see him? He lives. Where is he? Inside me.
Amen.
You have seen me, you have seen Jesus. That's exactly what scripture is telling us.
Amen.
Are you getting this now?
Yes,
I want to answer a few questions and then we close.
Let's go.
Because part one is important, that we deal with your body. And then, you know, let's see if there is any question, bring it. Bring that question so that we know, or maybe something that somebody is not really understanding quite well. Very, very important.
We have a question from Betty Blake. She's saying, if we're going to live forever, will we not have newborn babies anymore?
No. I think the understanding that your body cannot do it. It was only to populate the earth. All right? Mm-hmm. If you really get even the area we are going to be staying in, which is the new heaven and the new earth. It's measured. You realize it's a small area. it's not this whole world. That's why even there will not be any sea. No sea. I know you like the beach. But there won't be any sea. Just imagine if you remove. Do you understand water constitutes a lot on this land? A lot. I don't know what. Over 2/3, I believe. How many percent? 70% of the world. I believe so. You need to search that. Now, just imagine that. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
So now the Bible says the sea was no longer there. So now remove the sea from the equation and just leave land. And then you are given other measurements that are smaller than the land.
71%.
71%. That's closer.
The surface is covered with water.
Huh?
71% of the earth's surface is covered with water.
With water. Now there is no more sea. Gone. Done. Now I know your mind is now thinking, what about, I like to see the beach, I like to see this, I like to see this. They will be there. They will not just not be sea. Whatever you desire will be in that location. You desire a sea, you will see a sea. But it's telling you the reality of what that will look like. They will not be sea. But you, because you desire it, even if you desire snow, you'll be walking like this and snow will be there.
Hey.
For you.
Hey.
If you're walking with me and I don't like snow, I won't even see that snow. You'll be enjoying it.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow.
But it's not in heaven. It's new heaven and a new earth. And the heaven is planetary body.
I'm busy. What is, they like this heaven thing.
Heaven. Yeesh. People want to live forever in heaven. Imagine going to heaven and get here and you stand there, and the Lord begins to tell you, especially judgment day, that's exactly where you're going to get the revelation of what you were supposed to do. I'm not saying you're going to be punished or whatever. If you're a Christian, you've gone already, you know, by the rapture, so you're already good. It's not a day to expose your sins. All right? Some people, I've told so many people, think, you know, when we get to heaven and then we get this all big screen, 50 inch. No, no, no. Maybe a 200 inch or 3,000. And all your friends are gathered. And God says, yes, we are now going to Masimba Matambanazo's video. So which one is there? We're going to Maria now, you know. And let's go to Edwina. And boom! A video from beginning to end, from when you were born. You'll just be going like this. Like, please, Jesus, stop. And you know when it's about to come, you know the place, you know. Like grade 2, my God. No, grade 2. Just go grade 3, please. Skip that class. Then we go to university. Now you know this is where all your games were. It's not going to happen like that. But you're going to realize the things that God had already provided for you. What His calling was for you. And some of you were going to be so shocked that you were prophets. And never used it. And then some we have rushed into the prophetic and you're not even prophets. God will be like, you are not even a prophet. You are not a pastor. You are not a teacher. You are not an apostle. You are not even an evangelist. Some of you who think you have got a very bad voice, that's when you'll be told you were an international music minister. You'll be like, hey, they... You say, sir, the voice... You'll be so shocked. That's exactly what you people are sitting down with your gifts. Because somebody else is better than you. Listen, just because somebody's life is going great, it doesn't mean say yours is going bad. No. You don't compete with them. I have my own enjoyment here. I remember one of these media gurus, I call him Dr. Lance. Remember him posting something, an African child, you know, with a cooking stick, you know, and pap or what we call sazo or fufu and stuff like that. And just eating that with a big smile up to there. Big smile. Happiness is relative. You enjoy when it's prawns and calamari and Dakaris and stuff like that. This one is on cooking stick. Just remainder of some, you know, just pop. That's it. Joy, excited. Excited. You, what excites you? Because you're not content. So you're looking at another man, maybe Angel is driving a Toyota, whatever that car is, and you don't have a car. You'll be like, if I only have a car. I don't know if you're getting this.
Yes, sir.
Let me show you something that's really paramount so that you get it. Some people will take time. You take time.
Let's go, sir. Let's go.
You take time. Let me just do this. So a man says, I was looking for a perfect church. So I decided to call Apostle Paul. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
I decided to call Apostle Paul and ask a few questions. There is no one better than him to help me find a perfect church. After all, he's the founder of several churches and knows them very well. And he picked up his phone. Hello, Paul. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Sir Paul. Said, yes, it's me, Paul. Are you getting it? May the peace of Christ be with you. Apostle Paul is talking to the guy. It's Pastor Ronnie. Pastor Ronnie says, amen, my brother. Sorry for the inconvenience, Apostle, but I need your help. It's just that I've been disappointed in a lot of churches. Are you still flowing?
Yes, sir.
These churches I've been to, I'm disappointed. So now I'm looking for the perfect church. Now Paul says, okay, tell me. I was thinking about the church in Corinth that you started. Can I join that one? Because all these churches, fake pastors, fake prophets, fake evangelists. Look, the church in Corinth that you want to go to has little groups. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 12 and 13. Envy and strife and issues that end up in court of common justice. And there are even some people there who commit immoralities. How about the church in Ephesus, Apostle? The guy wants to go to the Ephesus now. It is a church based on the word of God indeed. But lately there has been a lot of unloving people attending services there. I'll probably go to the church in Thessalonians. That one is powerful. He said, oh, that one is lazy people. I even wrote it in 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Weak-minded people. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Mm. Wow, it's hard, eh, Apostle? What if I go to the church in Philippians? It is a good church, but there is a problem there. There are even two sisters called Eudia and Psychic who have disagreements and are polluting everyone in the church. That way you won't survive there. So I think I'll move to the church in Colossians, or church of Colossians. Well, there are some heretics there who are causing confusion there. There is also a group there that is telling people to worship angels. So a lot of people in there are worshiping angels. You can join if you want. What if I go to the church of the Galatians? Oh, you want to go there? There are some believers biting and devouring each other over there. Really cannibalism taking place, brother. I didn't know it was hard to find a perfect church. I was even talking to Apostle John and asked how the church in Thyatira was doing. He told me that the members are allowing a woman who calls herself a prophetess to teach about prostitution and idolatry in the church. The church committing idolatry with other gods. He told me that Laodicea, the church members are far from perfect, for they are proud, materialistic, and lukewarm. What about Pergamon? There are some who follow doctrines of the Nicolaitans and Balaam. These guys are deep in the Nephilim. You know, Apostle Paul, I have thought of going to the headquarters in Jerusalem. At least that one is safe. It's the headquarters, for God's sake. But I heard that there is a lot of prejudice going on there, as well as murmurings and gossip, and some who lie to the apostles. And now, where do I go, Apostle? You need to understand that there is no perfect church, as it is made of people like you. My advice, stop constantly criticizing the church leaders and other brothers and sisters of faith, always wanting to be right about everything. Stop spreading unnecessary negative comments about others' conduct. And begin to cooperate with the church to achieve perfection in Christ, as Ephesians 4:11 tells us, just as I've been doing. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Stop seeing people with bad eyes. See them through God's eyes. Don't stop going to church just because people are imperfect. Rather, help your brethren by counseling, exhorting them in brotherly love. Make yourself available to God. Don't judge people. When you go to church this time, don't worry whether or not the message will please you. But do so to offer your life as a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. If you therefore must endure hardship, as the Bible says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that they may please him who enlisted them as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So the reason why churches are evil is because of you. Anyway. You understand? Now, I want you to see that. I want you to see that. You think you're going to go to heaven because there is a church that is right for you. I've been looking at embassies just a few days ago, and we noticed something. English is funny. If you ask some people, you say, where is the embassy of Britain? What do they say? Oh, you're passing by the building. It's on a Saturday. There is no one in the building. They say that's the embassy of Britain. That's wrong English. The building of the embassy is called a chancery. When it is full of workers, it's called an embassy. The people are the embassy. The building is the chancery. Now, so church is not the building. It's not the name Spirit Embassy. It's the people that go there.
Amen, amen, amen.
That means you who is part of it, who is talking about others, are also part of it, you are the church. The moment you leave, the church will be okay. That's what the Bible says. Remove murmurs and gossipers and backbiters. It says remove it. It says remove gossipers and gossip will cease. What is this? You want to go to heaven? It's so simple. Very simple. Encourage the weak-minded, the feeble-minded. Encourage them. Be part of the church. And know you are the church yourself, not somebody else. You are the church. Yes. Give me one more question and we do.
Someone is asking, is the reward of the believers going to be during that 7 years?
When we come back.
Amen. And somebody else is asking, are we
coming back there before we get there?
All right.
To the millennium.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Somebody else is asking.
Remember, there are judgments that are going to take, several judgments that are going to take place.
Yes, sir.
That right time is what we're giving our word.
All right. Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody else is asking, are we going to be able to speak in tongues?
Remember, tongues are a language from home. Remember, the Holy Ghost is the governor of the kingdom. Remember when Britain would colonize people in Africa? Yes. It would send a governor, and the governor would change the language from Shona, if it's Zimbabwe, to English. From Zulu, for South Africa, to English. That's why African countries speak English. Why? Because they send governors to monitor. They start changing the way you speak, and then they change what you eat. That's why we start drinking tea. There was no tea there. Even Britain didn't have tea. It got it from India. So do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we started drinking tea based on Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was waking up going like, I need a loaf of bread and a cup of tea. From where? So they changed our culture so that we don't fight them.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt like we were part of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can speak English. Now we can be sent nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you want someone, your slave, to work. And you're trying to communicate. Just one simple message. Go and take that thing to come. The best thing is not to learn the language, but to teach them yours. And also that became their undoing as well, because these guys began to speak their own language to try and topple the master. Same thing with Jamaica. If you hear the English that they speak in Jamaica, you realize it's English, but if they slow down a little bit, you might understand, you might catch a little. Okay? But they were doing some words that done in a very kind of, You know it's English, but it's not English. But it was actually developed to actually to get the message without the white men knowing. So they would speak to each other, same English, twisted until the masters then realized, I can't hear what did you just say? That's the point. So they changed the language, and the language that they changed it to was what? Was English. So that's the language from home. So people think it's some kind of story. No. Don't remove. Lando Zikaba. Talk.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And, we have a question here on YouTube from Chili Chuli. It says, is there heaven on earth and hell in afterlife, or only heaven and hell?
I have no idea what... Even me, I'm confused. The question. I have no idea what that means.
Are you trying to ask?
Do you even know what that means yourself? Before you ask me, did you even understand it?
I think they're trying to find out if after that there will be a hell somewhere existing.
Of course! There are people who need to burn in hell. But remember, hell will be taken and thrown into the lake of fire. Armageddon happens, and the people that rose against Christ, they are going to be burned. Notice this, if it is possible to deceive even the very elect. What are the elect that he's talking about? Is he talking about Christians? No, the Jews are the elect. And they, remember, the dispensation of 2,000 years is for us, quote-unquote, Gentiles. But we are not Gentiles, you understand the revelation anyway, but, you know, according to the Bible, generic language of scripture, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. So we are not Gentiles, but Gentiles, just say we are Gentiles, for 2,000 years. Then the millennial is concentrating on the elect, the Jews. So if it is possible to deceive the very elect, the Jews. Hope you are getting this. Are you getting this? So now he is saying, is there going to be hell? Yes, the people that were trying to rise up, they're going to be put in hell. But remember, hell is then taken. Hell itself will be taken. Hell is temporary. It's not forever. Do I repeat this part?
Sure.
Okay. Hell is temporary. It's not forever. It's not going to be like you're burning forever, forever, forever. No. You will burn forever, but not in hell. Hell will be taken and be punished itself and thrown into the lake of fire where the worm dieth not. Some people say, oh, how can worms survive? There are worms on earth right this minute that eat lava. Right. Volcanic lava. They actually live in there. Worms. That's what they feed on. To a level of degree that they can survive. Now, these ones will be in the lake of fire, biting you, eating. You'll be given also your small body that can really be sensitive to pain. This one that you put your hand like this and you feel pain is not really sensitive. The one you have in hell will be so dangerous. I'm talking to people who are going to hell now. The ones who are making it to hell, you people, you are going to be given a lot. The pain you will face, you will feel it. It will be so amplified. Robbers will be in hell. This, performing the same act. Rapists will be in hell, performing the same act. Murderers in hell, performing the same act. So imagine you are not just going to burn. There are people beating you up. There are people doing all kinds of things. There are people, everything is there. Amplified sin. Be inside there. You don't want to be there. You don't even want your enemy to be there. If you see what hell is like, you'll be like, I'm not going there. All right. Mm-hmm.
Another question from Ayina, and they're asking, why then does the scripture say, lay up not for yourself treasures upon the earth, but lay them up treasures in heaven? If we, they're saying if they're not going to have anything, how come it says to lay treasures in heaven?
Where is God right now?
Heaven.
Heaven, eh?
Yes, sir.
So you want to lay it up in the new millennium? I'm just trying to figure out, you know. If we say don't bank your money in Lincoln or in London, in the London bank, then after we go to London, we realize, oh, London will be moved, the bank from London will be moved to Glasgow. You say, why are we banking in London? Because Glasgow is not yet there. All right. You say, I'm not trying to be funny, but can't help it.
Thomas on YouTube is asking, Prophet, for those going to hell, how many years will they be there?
Forever. And this forever, eh? Really means forever, ever, ever. Forever, you know? Because some people, you know, some people want forever to be 2 minutes and 40 hours. It says you shall burn forever.
Yes.
How long is forever?
Forever, lifetime.
People think, you know, it's going to be like cut short, like, you know, break time. No, there's nothing. It's forever, ever, ever. An eternity. And your spirit doesn't die. It will burn forever. No spirit can die. It will be on fire. And please don't ask about these people unless you are going there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Kezia is asking, please, does it mean that regardless of how hard Christians work individually, they will get the same reward?
No. I read it. In 1 Corinthians, we read it, right?
Yes, sir.
15.
Yes,
we read it. What did he say? 35, 36, 37, 38. He said, for when you resurrect with a different... God gives it a body as he pleases. Perchance grain, perchance wheat. Mm-hmm. In other words, he gives you a suit that is suited to you. Mm-hmm. Then we have also five crowns and five rewards, rather, that I listed in one of my messages. That I've told you. But these are the minimum that I could find in the Bible. That means... there are so many awards that you're receiving. So no, we're not receiving the same. You will not find Peter and you be on the same level. Trust me, you won't. The Bible says they shall judge. You shall sit and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. It's not, your name is not there on that one. Those who judge the tribes of Israel. That already tells you. Imagine the guy who died is in hell and sees Lazarus, says, Father Abraham, he knew only Abraham could do this. Send Lazarus with water here, even a drop. Remember, he's in hell. He knows that one was my servant.
Hey.
And you want to know who your wife is. These ones are in eternity. They know. This one in hell knows that one was a servant. Seeing one in heaven and saying, that's my servant. Let him bring water. But Lazarus suffered when he was on earth. But you enjoyed your life. Now he's also enjoying, he's getting rest. Said, but let's send him again. Well, I send someone then to my brothers. He is sending even Abraham. Just imagine, even in heaven you'll be renting. It is called Abraham's bosom. That's how close Abraham was to God. He says, the Bible actually says, blessed be Abraham of God. Ronnie of God.
Amen.
Balabaya. You just need to think about it. You say, what's your name? Say, I'm Hubert Angel of God.
Amen.
Ah, you're of God. Yes, I am Hubert Angel of God. Amen. What are you? Ricky Doolan of God. It's every time you put yourself in there that God himself considered himself. Then he says, Abraham of God. And he says, comma, possessor of heaven and earth. He's not talking about God. He's talking about Abraham possessing heaven and earth. You think it was God? He's not possessor. He's a maker of it. It's Abraham who possessed it. Everyone who enters heaven is getting into Abraham. Just imagine that. You're still renting when you go there.
Question from the student.
Oh, yes.
What will we be doing in heaven during the 7 years?
What will we be doing? What?
In heaven during the 7 years.
I've given only just a few parts that I wanted to deal with was the body. That's why we have part two of it.
Yes,
sir. I dealt with just a few things that you do. And remember, the 7 years are not 7 years. Remember, I told you before, yes, 7 years are not 7 years. To us, it's 7 years here on earth. To heaven, it's nothing. It's like just, boom. It's like we get in there, we're like, yeah. Oh, wow, we are here. And then we hear, oh, get ready, we are going back. There's no night there. You say, yeah, yeah, it's now six, guys. We're going to our mansion. You know the way you think, guys. Last question, and that's it, guys. Last question. I know I've said two questions, three questions, and stuff like that.
Somebody's asking here on YouTube, Prophet, that are we going to start afresh as newborn babies on the new heaven and the earth?
Raise your hands wherever you are. Raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for these that are here right now, and we bless you. We thank you for the people that you have given us. For they've understood the plans that you have for them in the future. The plans you have for them now, and they are ready now to face this rapture, to really go by the rapture. They are excited now. Why? Because now they know for sure you have plans that are brilliant for them. In the name of Jesus, even as the Bible says that we can experience or have a foretaste of glory divine, that means right this minute on this earth, we can have a glimpse of that life. A glimpse of the benefits of that body. I pray for everyone watching right now that those benefits start working now. Amen. That their bodies can do even the things that they will do in the future.
Hallelujah.
That no disease can touch them. Cancer has been exposed. COVID exposed.
Amen.
Diabetes exposed. Yes. HIV exposed. Yes. AIDS exposed. Yes. Depression exposed. Yes. Paralysis exposed.
Yes.
Carpal tunnel syndrome exposed in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing everyone that is watching right this minute. May your healing spring forth right this minute in the name of Jesus. The Bible talks about a foretaste of glory. A foretaste. That means we can enjoy now. This same body we are going to be clothed with. We can force our body to enter that thing. We can enter by the Spirit, for we own. It says, eternal life is now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Trust me. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. If you know what God has for you, it's really, really amazing, amazing, amazing. And I don't think there is any other question. I want to pray for those who are really, really saying, I need something to change. Because right now people are going through a lot of financial difficulties. And remember, like I told you before, pain is physical. It's a physical thing. Pain is a physical thing. It's not something you pretend you don't have. It's not something when somebody says, I'm in pain, you say, no, just think right. Yeah, think right is good. He will tell you, I need to think right, but it can take some few weeks. But right now I'm in pain. So what do I do? It's a physical thing. So when somebody is suffering when it comes to finances, there is a physical thing. It is needed now. I decree and declare now in the name of Jesus. as a prophet from my innermost being, from the depth of my being, I call a piece of that unction, that grace, to affect your finances in the name of Jesus. To affect everything about you in the name of Jesus. Believe it right this minute. It's happening right this minute. It's happening to your bank account right this minute. Amen. It's happening to your job. It's happening to your company. Amen. Clients are being called by the Spirit to your company. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Yes. I'm excited, and I know there are people on Zoom, and I believe as we go with our prophetic services, it's going to be really, really be good.
Yes,
it's going to be really, really excellent. As we go with our prophetic services, it's going to really be amazing. And we're starting again our global prophetic satellite. This is what we call our global positioning service.
That's right.
It's like we can navigate with the satellite of God.
We're
going to restart that. But of course, next we're going to go part two and realize detail what is going to be in heaven. We're going to have that and then go to GPS and then go back to the, you know, the new heaven and the new earth. And remember, it's not talking about heaven. It's talking about planetary bodies spinning these things. So it's going to be really, really exciting. Really, really exciting. I think, I don't know. When are we having? I don't know. We're having again. We're having Sister Ada, Minister Ada, ministering.
Yes.
Maybe in a few weeks' time. It might be next week. It might be week after. But it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Yes. Ministering live here. So it's happening. And we also going to do our healing service as well. And remember, Tuesday and Thursday, we have changed from Wednesday and Friday services. Why we changed is because those in America also want us to have our services there in America. So we're going to have our American services as well. I believe those in America, there are people from America right here.
That's right.
Yes. So we're going to have our services. We're going to have our services. Friday we have a service, right?
That's right.
A prophetic service for America.
Yes.
It's going to be on fire. Trust me, it's going to be on fire. 7 p.m. EST, whatever EST means, Eastern Standard Time, wherever East is, we're gonna. You just tell me what it is in Britain, and I'll be there. So definitely, it's gonna be on fire. Then we'll do India, we'll do Australia, we'll do New Zealand. We'll do everything we can so that the people can actually get the Lord to speak to them. All right.